Is it going to happen again? It's the news, according to me. Good morning, everyone. It is Tuesday. It's Tuesday, October 25th. It seems like it's Friday already. I guess yesterday was kind of a busy day for me, obviously. And today's not going to be really much any less busy, really. Well, most of the day, till this evening, and then it tapers off rapidly after about 5 o'clock. I'm heading to Atlanta again today. And of course, there's always the big rush before. So that's why I'm up at 6 o'clock this morning. Actually, so, well, I was up at 6 o'clock. It's 6:51 right now, 6:52, really, on the East Coast. And it is October 25th, 2022, Tuesday. It's only Tuesday. It will soon be Saturday. The rest of this week is going to go screaming by, I'm sure. It's going to be a crazy week. Anyway, I'll be down in Atlanta till Saturday night. And so every morning, it's going to be a very early, hopefully I'll be able to get, I hope to get an early show in every week this week. It's probably going to end up being an evening show that I end up posting in the mornings. So it's going to be, for those of you who didn't get a chance to listen yesterday, Timon from Timon's podcast network on Podbean, was in the studio in the worldwide headquarters, international headquarters studio of the news, according to me. And we got to hear the news according to Timon yesterday. So there was it was mostly just me talking. I asked them a question and I started talking. Now, he was able to talk a little bit. I think we got a little bit of his opinion in there occasionally. And it was really good having him on the show. It's fun to be able to interview somebody or just to sit and chat. You know, it's kind of reminiscent of the days of Rabbi Rick when Rabbi Rick used to show up in the show and. I was always kind of fun because just the two people kind of just kind of playing off each other's opinions, keeping each other a little bit in check, sometimes feeding on each other's taking it a little too far, but it was fun. So I appreciate the Timon being here yesterday. Added to the show because I didn't share what was in his cup. He actually had a cup as well, and I didn't share. So everybody's sitting on the edge of their seats waiting to see what was in Timon's cup, and he had coffee. I don't know what kind of coffee. He's a coffee guy. He's drink coffee. So I, once again, just in loving memory of yesterday's show, I'm now drinking chai again because I don't drink coffee. So I'm drinking chai, and I've got a little bit of Cinnabon creamer in there. Yesterday it was the Almond Joy creamer that I have at the worldwide headquarters. And I'm not sure which I like better. I kind of like the two both, but I don't want to. I'd like to get stuck in a rut with one or the other. But it was good, and the chai was good, and the show was good. I think. Is it going to happen again? This is the question. I woke up this morning and I've kind of had this nagging feeling. Really, the only thing is, well, there's a lot of things on my mind, but as far as the whole political spectrum goes, but I believe that I think that. Look, the FBI is so out of control. The people who are running it, everything that's going on with this J6 commission, all this stuff that's happening that's coming towards Trump is just out of control. And I guess it's to not overuse the term weaponization of federal law enforcement. These people are really unhinged. I mean, it is at the point where it's dangerous. When people get a certain ideology or a certain, what's the word? Hysteria? Derangement? Just an unstable platform from which they're operating in their brain. It becomes dangerous. You remember back to the Peter Strzok when Peter Strzok was being interviewed by Congress, and he had this kind of phony kind of, I was bound to make sure that this country was safe. He had this, it was very staccato kind of the way he talked and tried to pretend like he really cared about the country and he was being patriotic. These people don't care about democracy. They care about their power, their rule. And it takes me back to this weird conversation that Lindsey Graham had with the FBI director, Christopher Wray. And so Wray was sitting before the Senate, and it was Lindsey Graham's turn. Lindsey Graham likes to sit in his big fat chair and sit there and kind of wiggle around a little bit. He's got this. Let's not even get into some people's. The guy's just a clown. I don't know how else to explain it. I hate to use the word, but it's all I can think of. He's a very powerful clown. That's what he is. He's been there too long. Needs to go. Here's the thing. He calls Christopher Wray up there. He's up there getting ready to. He has this the weirdest intro question that was so out of place. There was more going on in this question. I don't know. It was an insider thing going on between the two of them, and I don't know what was going on with this. This has been a while back, so you probably don't remember it, and I can't find a clip of it specifically because it was so long ago, and I'm sure it was just buried in all the other stuff that's happened. It wasn't a big deal, but I remember it very specifically, and I think the reason it stood out so much was because it was so awkward. He gets on the microphone, and he goes, "Hey, how are you guys doing over there at the FBI? You guys need any funding? Need anything? You need anything over there at all?" And the guy said, maybe it wasn't the FBI director. Maybe it was somebody else within the FBI, but I'm pretty sure it was Wray. Maybe it wasn't. And the guy goes, yes, sir, all of our budget meeting needs are being met. That's all he said. Now, that, to me, was a very strange question to lead with before he then turns a complete left turn and goes off into some other aspect of asking him questions. This was they're very bizarre. Now, I don't know if there's some kind of behind the scenes, under the table deal going on between these two or something going on with the State Department or whatever it is. And he's asking this guy this question like, hey, I pulled these strings for you. I got your funding for you. Now, are you going to play nice? He's getting him to make this public admission that they're funded for some reason. So I don't know if it's, did the FBI have something on Lindsey? So Lindsey was reminding them that, hey, we had this deal. Does Lindsey have something on them? My guess is that the FBI has something on Lindsey. And Lindsey has a deal with them to keep things quiet, and he's holding the purse strings somehow on this. Congress holds the purse strings, so I'm not sure exactly. But they have to have confirmation from the Senate on anything that goes through the House. So I don't know. It just seemed odd to me, and for some reason, I woke up this morning. Just that has been nagging me for quite some time. Now here's the other thing this is where I'm going with this other thing that I think is going to happen again. The other thing that's been nagging me lately, other than my cat, wanting to be picked up and petted, and wants to bite me. It's a cat. That's what they do. The thing that has really kind of been disturbing me or kind of been on the back of my mind, kind of just keeps kind of bringing up a thought, is that they might try to raid Mar-a-Lago again. There's going to be a second raid. In fact, I thought I heard it in the news the other day, and I think it was just actually a dream I had. That there's going to be a second raid on Trump's residence. Now, maybe it's going to be Trump Tower. Maybe it's going to be Mar-a-Lago. I don't know. Who knows what it's going to be? Because they got his lawyer to sign this paper saying that they gave over all the documents, which is a backwards way of doing this. Normally, when the government comes in and seizes your property, they're supposed to give you an inventory of everything that they took. They won't do that, by the way. They're required to, but they won't do it unless you demand it. And guess what? Even then, they'll walk off with the property and say, well, we don't have time for that right now. Well, you had time to come take the stuff. I had a little run-in with the IRS one time, way back, long time ago. I learned some lessons. And by the end of my lessons learned, I had the IRS running away from me a little bit, not wanting to talk to me anymore all of a sudden. Started calling them out on some things. Well, what ended up happening was I had some property on my property. It didn't belong to me. It was a vehicle of sorts. And within that vehicle, I had personal property inside there that had nothing to do with what they were coming to take. This was all part of a huge misunderstanding that they had with my situation, my tax situation. And got it straightened out, got them pushed back. But in the meantime, they took the property. It didn't even belong to me. Someone was basically loaning me the property. I had it parked there. And they came and got it. In the process, I said, "I need to have a receipt of everything that's on board this thing." Oh no, we can't do that. Well, why can't you? There's things on there that you're taking more than just this. You're taking the titled vehicle, which isn't even titled in my name. It's registered in my name, but it's not titled in my name. I paid for that. I paid for the insurance, but it's not my property. Well, we're taking it anyway. So the individual who owned it called him up. Said, I want my property back. You took my property. Well, we can't do that. You have to come and get it. That's what happens. This happened with a local laundromat here. Not a laundromat, but like a cleaner's, a clothier cleaner type place. You know, where you take your suit to have it cleaned. This one, the IRS stepped in, shut the place down, locked the doors. Well, everybody's clothes are in there. So now people have their uniforms locked up. The IRS comes in and starts charging people. Of course, they're collecting all the fees. Of course, they come in and they're sitting there and say, well, if you want your clothes, you have to pay your bill. It's, $5 for this suit to be cleaned or $3 for that, blouse to be cleaned, whatever it is. They got all these clothes there. If you want your clothes, you got to come in and get them on a certain day. The IRS is selling them back to you. Some of them weren't cleaned. That's what the problem is. Not all of them were clean. I got my clothes back. My clothes were there. I got my clothes back. They weren't cleaned. I hold the IRS responsible for that. I paid for something I didn't get, and the IRS was responsible for that. Not the cleaner. Cleaner had every intention to pay. Every time I took them in, they always cleaned them for me. That wasn't a problem. They shut them down. before they had a chance to clean them. Then they decided they were going to charge me for it. Anyway. Who's the criminal here? That's, if I did that in a business, it'd shut me down in a heartbeat. Yeah. So, that's the kind of thuggery we have going on in our little three-letter alphabet soup organizations. That's got to end. It's just got to end. This is... It's unfortunately, the Democrats now have funded more of it and doubled, basically, the size of the agents. You think they're going to go after the rich. The 1%? You need twice the IRS agents to go after 1% of the population? Doesn't make any sense at all. And, of course, it doesn't because it isn't. So here's what I think is going to happen. I think that they got this lawyer to sign this paper saying that they had given over all the documents. Well, then they changed the definition of the documents. They're changing as we speak right now. They're going through court systems, filings, and all kinds of other things to change the definition or to find what the difference between client-attorney privilege type stuff, attorney-client, client-attorney, whatever, privilege, what classified is, what confidential is. If the president got up and had breakfast and wiped his face with a napkin, is that paper napkin now become presidential documents that that NARA, you know, has rights to? That's where this is going. So it's like their definition of is. The concern I have is that they're going to come back and raid Trump's property again and say, oh, look, we found this napkin. You told us that you gave over all the paper, all the documents. Oh, you're a traitor. You're destroying the country. You're a criminal. You can't run for president again. We're going to throw you away in jail for lying to the FBI for the next 20 years. Process crime. That's what they do. They're going to try to get Trump on a process crime because that's how they operate. That's what they got Bannon on. A process crime from a process that, in my opinion, was a phony clown show anyway. It was not constitutionally instated. If you look at the January 6th commission, how they put it in place, the rules that were in place for them to put it in place, and they completely disregarded all the rules, put this commission in place, not with the counsel and recommendation of the minority. They made up their own. Liz Cheney, who's the most disingenuous person on the planet, and Adam Kinzinger. Both of them, Trump haters, saying that there's the lie. Trump believes the lie, blah, blah. You know, and I think if you watch the, not just the way Liz Cheney talks, but the body language of the way she poses hers, she doesn't even believe what she's saying. She's saying it over and over. She knows it's not right, but she keeps repeating it, and she just can't understand why people aren't believing her. She just keeps talking and droning on about this. Oh, Trump continues to promote the lie. This is all misinformation. It's destroying our democracy. And I can't understand why people don't care about their democracy when they're paying $5 a gallon for gas. Well, that's because Putin. Yeah. That's why. Yeah. I'm afraid the show's not going to last very long today, folks, by the way. I've got... a lot of things to do, but just as a side note, just letting you know now for sure, you know, in case you're, you know, thinking about hanging up now, you might as well just listen to the end because it's not going to be that long. No, I'd say another 10 minutes, maybe 15, 20, or, you know, it could go for a couple hours. I don't know. Who knows? I might just quit my job and just keep on going. The the amazing thing to me is how they treat all this stuff. And the hysteria on the left. In fact, let's just take a look for real quick here. If you could humor me here for a moment. Let's see what happens when I click on this. See what kind of headlines we get. We have, what do we got here? This is all Sky News Australia stuff. Kind of interesting stuff going on, especially when they pick on Biden and the gaffes that have been going on. Folks, he had an interview recently with somebody on, I think it was on MSNBC. And in the middle of the interview, it looks like he's kind of zoned out. Everybody says he fell asleep. I don't think he fell asleep. I think he's pushed into this thing where he doesn't know what to say. Well, Dr. Biden, my wife believes we're doing something very important. Really? You think President of the United States? Oh, really? Wow, that's big of her to think that. No, I think we're doing something very, very important. I think my wife does things that are very important. Some people would probably disagree with that statement. I don't know. I'm sure some people disagree with the fact that what I'm doing is very important. And that's fine. You could disagree with that. But I think most people, if you told them what I do and told people what she does, I think people would say, yeah, what you're doing is very important. I think being a president of the United States probably goes without saying. I don't think you'd have to try to even convince somebody of that. What you're doing is very important. Probably, you know, one of the most important jobs in the country, as far as, you know, the government's concerned, being president of the United States, I think, ranks right up there. Top 10 jobs probably in the U.S., as far as importance. Not that makes you important, but the job of the office is important. Some people can't define between the two. Government expects inflation to peak at 7.75%. I believe that's probably Australia, because that's not actually United States. Let's see. All this is Sky News Australia. I thought I had some MSNBC stuff here. I don't see any right now. Yeah, where'd it go? There was a bunch of stuff on here from MSNBC. I don't see it right now. It's just overnight. I get inundated with Sky News Australia. So the earlier the morning, I do think. Oh, Woodward. Here we go. This is a CNN headline. Woodward on moment in Trump interview that was like a thunderclap. That's great. Woman confronts armed man near ballot drop box. This is on CNN as well. And there's a flag involved, so I'm assuming that probably the armed man probably, who knows? I'm sure that what this is, because it's on CNN, I know which way this is going. That's just what it amounts to. You know which way that's going. Probably the Trump supporter, the guy waving the flag, probably was the guy with the gun. The woman had to confront him. For who knows what reason. Did she feel threatened? I don't know. I don't know what her problem was. Let's see what else we got here. We got, I think that's a little further I'm going to go with that. Carrie Lake has just been obliterating people in the press and reporters in Arizona. I think that some other politicians could take note of her. What's the word? Moxie. It is unbelievable how she called them out last time. They said, well, you know, she goes, black voters want this or that, or they're not concerned about crime, whatever it is. They this guy says, oh, really? What black voters have you talked? How many have you talked to? And of course, then she proceeded to say, "I've talked to a lot of them. I talked to all my constituents here in Arizona." And it goes on to basically. Then he says, "Well, polls say what polls? What statistics are you getting? Where are you getting that from?" Just she goes on just to just obliterate the guy and call him out. That's what we need. Politicians who are willing to get back in the face and tell the truth. And then she makes this bombshell statement that, oh, you're not supposed to say out loud as a politician. She goes, look at the statistics that are actually out there. You will find that the police don't have a higher rate of incarceration of whites or blacks. They don't target blacks or whites. That's not what the statistics, that they don't, it's, she goes, this is a lie propagated by the media and, you know, other, and the left. And then she says, look at the statistics. Of course, then the guy doesn't, you know, come back and say, what statistics? I mean, it could have gotten into that kind of a battle, but those are the actual FBI statistics. She's actually quoting state government statistics that are real crime statistics. Even after they monkey with them, because they'll redefine things in terms of what is crime and what isn't. That's how the leftists bring down the crime rate. Look, the crime rate has gone to complete zero because we never arrest anybody. We never charge anybody with anything anymore. That's how they reduce the crime rate, by just not calling it crime. You let all the criminals go. You don't arrest anybody. Look what happened to the crime rate. It just went right down. All the stores are being looted. They're moving out of. So now we have these what's called food deserts. Do you think that food companies wouldn't want to move in, like a grocery store, to a populated area and sell food in those areas? So we have a food desert because of racism, because the people don't want to move in there and sell food to black people. Well, let me just back this up for a moment. What's stopping people from the community there start their own store? What's stopping them from that? Well, it's their oppression, the oppression they have. Really? They can't get a grant, can't get funding. Really? Well, they don't know how. Well, aren't you teaching them how to do that? There's programs in place for that. You see, that the issue has been that we've allowed this cultural shift. We've allowed it, and then we've funded it. This idea that I'm a victim and I'm just going to sit here until you make it right. I know what I'm saying is very controversial to some people. But this is keeping them on the plantation racism if I've ever seen it in my life. It's the leftist mentality, and I'm not just making this up, Lyndon B. Johnson, who was a huge proponent of welfare, was caught on tape saying it. That's the way we can keep him down, by keeping him on the government dole. And yeah, he used the N-word when he said it. Oh, but then all of a sudden, the Republicans and Democrats flipped right after that. And the Republicans became the racists. And the Democrats all of a sudden were the ones who were for the little guy. Because they said so. That's what they told us. So it must be true. After fighting a civil war, the Republican Party was born out of the Civil War. A lot of people didn't even realize Abraham Lincoln was basically one of the first Republicans. the launching of the Republican Party. It was the where it became, you know, the North versus the South. And a lot of white people died. Now, slavery was the political football. There was a lot of other economic issues that the South was fighting over. But it became a war against slavery because that was the rallying cry. We talked about that yesterday on yesterday's show. But it was a big part of what the war was about. It had one of the biggest consequences, I should say, for those individuals down there who were in slavery. So there's something to be said for that. However, it just wasn't, I wouldn't say it was the only issue of the war. However, people did go to war for that purpose, and they did fight and die. White people, Europeans, Caucasians, whatever you want to call them. What about their reformations? But that, you know, so they fought the Civil War. Then the Republicans went on to push for all kinds of legislation for the civil rights movement. But all of a sudden, the Democrats just decided, well, we're the ones who did all that. Yeah, there you go. That's how that works. And because the media just continues to play, we talk about a lie. See, a lie is not something, I've talked about this before on the show. When you lie, if you think that something happened, let's say, and in fact, Tucker Carlson has been coming right out, being very bold recently about the election, 2020 election. Oh yeah, Biden got 81 million votes. Sure he did, sitting in his basement, got 81 million. He was joking about that pretty severely last night. I'm surprised he's getting away with it, but I think it's becoming more accepted. Carrie Lake is also, now all these Republican, they call them election deniers. That's what they call them on the left. Oh, I think we should be concerned that all these election deniers are being elected into office. Yeah, because the whole country saw what happened in 2020. We all saw it. And keep yelling about it all you want. It doesn't change what happened. We all have a very vivid memory of it. I heard people right after the election say, I just think that 10 million more people just showed up and voted against Trump. Keep in mind the numbers here. Trump didn't just get trounced. In other words, out of the pool of 150 million voters that were, you know, previously voting, 160 million, whatever it was, 150 million, more people showed up, mailed in their ballots or had them collected by a mule. Supposedly they were real people, even though one person did a little examination of a whole bunch of addresses that didn't exist in Arizona. But you can't put that on, you know, the social media sites because they'll get banned. So here's what happens. You know, Trump got more votes as a loser than any other Republican candidate ever in history of this country. And yet he got beat by, what was it, 8 million votes? He increased numbers of voters from what he got in 2016 among every segment of the population. Any kind of demographic breakdown you can have, except for white males. Well, I actually got more white male votes as well. But it looks like more white males showed up all of a sudden to vote against Trump. He got a higher percentage of the black vote, if you want to call it that. people of color voted more for Trump in 2020. By percentage-wise, per capita, it was even higher than it was in 2016. This is craziness. But now, think about this. Barack Obama, when he ran in 2008, turned Indiana red state blue. Indiana turned blue to vote in Barack Obama. That did not happen for Biden. But all of a sudden, somehow Biden won. You see, these are the numbers that just don't make any sense whatsoever. Recently, there was a little report put out by Facts Matter, Roman Balmakov. He did an expose on the census, which was recently audited, and found out that they screwed up a whole bunch of stuff. Florida should have more now House of Representatives than it does because it has a higher population than what they... Florida, Texas, I think a couple other red states. It was like 6 out of 7 red states were undercounted by hundreds of thousands of people, which would have made a difference of several more representatives in that state, in those states. And they were overcounted in states that were blue, which means they get more. I believe there's like 9 or 10, a difference of 9 or 10 representatives total, swaying towards the blue side in blue states than there were in the red states. This is huge. After the census was audited and they discovered these mistakes, they had no way of going back and correcting it. There's nothing in place. There's nothing in the framework, in the way of doing it, to correct for mistakes in the census. Gee, do you think that they might have rigged that a little bit? When the preponderance of the outcome of the mistakes is on one side, over and over and over again in 10 different states. Well, gee, I wonder if that has something to do with maybe one side's doing... See, it doesn't take that many people to take over a country. You just have to be in the right place. They figured this game out a long time ago. Well, if we're in control, if we have our little blue-haired people out there doing the census taking. You see, this again, it comes back to the people who are independent, who are more libertarian, want the government off their back. I don't even like having the census. I don't like doing the census thing. I don't like it at all. It's intrusive. When I get a community organizer coming to my house, what do you want? What do you want? And start telling me what we're supposed to do now. What do you think? What are you doing? Start pushing your little agenda. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on. I don't like it. It seems intrusive. It seems nosy. I want to be sovereign in my property here. Just stay off my property. That's where I think there's a lot of people out there like that. They just don't want to get involved with it. But, you know, you do. Anyway. I'm sorry. I get on my little soapbox. But this is a lot of chicanery like that going on. Oh, listen, my bumper music's coming in. Probably because I pushed the button. That's probably why I did it. I don't always do that. On my laptop, when I'm traveling, you see, I got it set up so that the bumper music starts coming in no matter what I'm doing. So I have it set on a timer, and it just starts coming in. I made it come in this time, I'll be honest with you. I'll be transparent with you. So, it's Tuesday. We got a lot of shows yet to do this week. We got Wednesday, we got Thursday, we got Friday, maybe Saturday. Who knows? Maybe Sunday. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Folks, have a great day. Don't forget to vote. I got to fill out an absentee ballot, I think. God bless. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for each other. And we will see you tomorrow morning, hopefully. God bless. Have a great day. Take care.